got in. Amen. So here we go. All right, Matthew chapter 11. Verses 28, 29, and 30. You find these words. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. We want to talk about partnering in the greater works from a place of rest. Partnering in the greater works from a place of rest. Amen. And so quickly, I just want to read this verse into your hearing. Maybe it's for you who are here. Maybe it's you on live stream. Maybe it's you on podcast. I don't know, but Zephaniah 3:17, the Amplified Version says, "The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a Savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction. And in his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. He will exult over you with singing." Amen. So God rejoices over you. Some of us need to be reminded that God rejoices over you. A proud father, he rejoices over how far you have come. And he doesn't measure us like we measure ourselves. He rejoices over how far you have come, and he rejoices over how far he will take you. You haven't seen anything yet. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. What is that? That's the rest of God. Amen. So Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, I know 28, 29, 30 is like preaching to the choir, but how many of you know the best choirs practice? Amen. And I believe that the body of Christ is coming into a time of the greater works of Christ that John 14:12 talks about. And I further believe that one of the keys to operating in the greater works is actually learning to rest in God. I am convinced that one of the reasons the devil has such access to people's emotions and minds is that they keep flying through life without taking the time to get renewed in the presence of God. They ignore the need to sit and to rest and to wait on the Lord. As a result, their perception of things around them gets blurred. The current situation might not be as bad as it appears, or on the other hand, it may be worse than it appears because perception is blurred. And for many people, perception is reality. Amen. So doing too much too fast, at a too fast of a pace has worn, will wear you down and cause you to lose focus and affect your ability to see things the way they really are. Now here's the trap. You will respond according to your perceptions when things aren't really that way at all. And then you really make a mess of things. Amen. So perception is not necessarily reality, but you need time to rest to to clear the fog and to see how things really are. Amen. Because the devil is a liar. So the verse says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus paints two pictures in this verse for us. One picture is a picture of extreme weariness. All you who labor. This is a person who has gone as far as he can go. He can go no further, and he can't take another step. The other picture is a picture of extreme pressure and are heavy laden. This person is about to explode. He can't take it anymore. And this is, by and large, what we see in society today. Because of weariness and pressure, people explode. They road rage. They want to shoot up schools and workplaces and malls because of being in this place of heavy laden and stuff like that. Amen. But Jesus is still the eternal answer. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you may know exactly what it's like to move at a place, at such a fast place where your adrenaline is like a river, and you keep running, 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 you're moving so fast that when you finally get a chance to sit down, your emotions and your mind are still going. And so you never really rest. And when you lay down, your mind is going. And when you're up and got to go, your mind is asleep. Amen. And so listen, being tired, being angry, being lonely, being hungry, these are opportune times to be attacked by the enemy. Amen. That's why for years and years, I never get in tired people way, and I never get in hungry people way. And if you're tired and hungry, you won't see me. I mean, I'm not getting in your way, amen. And so that's a big problem with moving so fast. The demands of our schedule, a job, family, church, friendships, and so forth. And so when this happens, we start to become ineffective in every area. When trying to do too much too fast will cause you to snap. Say things you didn't mean to say, do things you don't remember even doing. Wow. Did I do that? Did I say that? Amen. Not taking time to rest in his presence. So some of the things that exhaust us are work, being overburdened, too much to do in a short timeline. Worldliness and carnality, it's pressure. It's exhausting to be worldly and carnal. You have expectations in that, and it's exhausting. Sin and guilt and the power of both. Money and material possession and the unsatisfying spirit of both when they own you instead of you owning it. Fame and the emptiness of it. Power and the loneliness of it. Rituals and traditions of religion, rules and regulations can all be exhausting. Now, even not knowing truth, the truth of life is one of the major causes of exhaustion. Searching for truth and never coming to the truth discourages, it exasperates, it exhausts us, and it burdens us. And eventually, our busyness leads to a breakdown of everything. The body suffers, the mind suffers, the work suffers, because we're too tired to function at 100%. And therefore, we can't do our job to our full potential. And then here comes the enemy with condemnation. Well, you know, you're not the best at this. Well, you know, you shouldn't be in this position anyway. Condemnation, condemnation. Condemnation. It opens the door for that, right? So, face it, it's extremely difficult to do everything simultaneously. You may be able to swing it for a while. You may be able to burn the candle at both ends for a while, but guess what? When you burn the candle at both ends, you soon run out of wax. Amen. Amen. So, you begin to miss important details. forgetting what you said, miss appointments, messing up your finances, and you even get emotional over unemotional issues. Why is she crying? Why is she, all I said was, have a good day, little darling, you know. I was at a job one day at work, and I said, have a good day, little darling. She said, oh, you shouldn't say that to people. You don't know. She was overwhelmed with some stuff, you know, emotional over an unemotional thing, right? Well, Ira, what does that have to do with partnering with the greater works of Christ? Well, it's simple. While you are in this state of being, you can't partner. You are grossly inefficient. Listen, while in this state of being, you are in spiritual triage, laying on a gurney somewhere and or being overwhelmed. You can't partner efficiently while in this state of being. Amen? So, in moments when we feel overwhelmed, we hear the voice of Jesus speak to our spirit saying, come unto me, all you who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now notice Jesus began the verse by saying, come. This Greek word come, douteth, it means, it's a greeting that means, come now. I'm inviting you to come. It's an enthusiastic greeting, an exclamation to come joyfully, welcoming us to come. When we find ourselves in this state of being, right? He says, come unto me, all you that labor. So that implies that Jesus' invitation to come to him is a special invitation directed to those who labor. The word labor from the Greek is kapiao, which describes a person who is completely exhausted due to nonstop, continuous work, labor. And this, so obviously, this is a person who has a lot of responsibility and is doing his or her best to do it all in a professional and excellent manner in order to do everything on his or her plate. This person is required to work hard all the time. That's why Jesus beckons this person to come. Notice, and Jesus doesn't beckon only the hard work, he also beckons those who are heavy laden. The word heavy laden, fortizo, depicts a person who is carrying a very heavy load on his back. Perhaps this load is your job, your family, your financial situation, or some personal burden. Regardless of what it is, Jesus pleads for the heavy laden to come to him. Amen. Amen. So to anyone who responds to this invitation and comes to him, Jesus promises that he will give him rest. The word rest from the Greek word anapao means to refresh, to rejuvenate, to reinvigorate, to revitalize. I wonder how much would you pay for if you can put that in a bottle without side effects. Amen. But it's free. So Jesus wants to refresh us so that we can keep doing what he called us to do. He wants us to be refilled so we can remain effective in what's important to him and remain on the same page. And when you are doing what's important to him, you will find that it becomes important to you. And you will miss it when you're not. Amen. And so the only way that we can remain continually effective is by making sure it's by spending time with the Lord, right? But and to enter his presence so that we can hear his voice. But we do this by getting away from the commotion of life, finding a quiet place to pray and worship, read the word, right? Because why? Because the enemy wants to keep you overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I know this is just choir practice, but the best choir is practice, right? So we practice it. You know, you notice the praise team, how good they are. They practice every before service start. Amen. And so they're in tune, they're in sync, and everything because they practice before service start. So if you schedule time to be alone with God, God will meet you there. How you like that? And so this is something that also blesses his heart. It brings him joy. Your time is a precious offering to the Lord. Amen. You know, Francine and I, we spend our quiet time and seeking the Lord upstairs, right? We have a set time. And if I find myself doing something and the time comes and I didn't realize it, the Lord said, get upstairs. Because it's precious to him. It's something that he wants, right? Amen. Not only that, but this is something, you believe it or not, this is something that the Lord needs. The Almighty God, the lover of your soul, has a need for your time and your undivided attention with him. He is a jealous God, jealous of your time. Oh, how he loves us so, the praise team says. He's jealous of us. So when there's no time of intimacy for the one who loves you, it becomes a heart problem for both parties. And that hinders you in partnering with the greater works. So he stands at the door and knocks, waiting for heaven to meet you with a sloppy, wet kiss. It's necessary for partnering with the greater works. Plan time with the lover of your soul. It's important to him. As Lynn was saying in prayer for us this morning, it's important to sit in his lap and to hug him and to kiss him on his cheek and stay there long enough to get everything you need to carry on while nullifying being overwhelmed by the enemy. So you can war from a place of rest. So just hang around God's presence as long as you can possibly can, even to the point of letting some other things go. And you will find that he has a way of redeeming the time and causing those things to work out. And I found out, in the past, when I didn't, I got to go, I can't stay, I got to go. And when I get to that, the things I just had to do, when I get there and try to do it, it really didn't need doing anyway. But it's being driven. Got to go. And miss that time with the Lord. Wow, that he wanted you to stay with him. But on the other hand, when you do let some things go and spend the time with him, those things have a way of working out better than you could have done it yourself. Amen. So it's important to learn the unforced rhythms of grace in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Quiet practice. So the greater works is not so much in the doing as it is in the resting. Without really trying to receive, you can receive more than you conceive when you rest. Here's a picture of this. Francine and I are noticing how the atmosphere and people are impacted by the Spirit of God wherever we go just by being there. We didn't say anything, we didn't do anything, but we see how they are. The atmosphere shifts and people are affected by being there. So you can impact one person or you can impact dozens of people with heaven simply by being there. And Holy Spirit now has a landing place in the hearts of those people. What is that? That's partnering with greater works. Amen. And that also opens the opportunity to say something about Jesus, even if it's only for a few seconds at the checkout. God bless you, or praying for you, whatever the space open it, avails you to. What is that's partnering with the greater works? It comes out of a place of rest. So you see, there is a quiet place in Him, a place of refreshing where you will find comfort, peace, protection every time. This is why Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Right? Now notice Jesus doesn't say He will come to you. He says you must choose to come to Him. If you make the deliberate choice to wait on the Lord, Jesus promised you that you will find the promised rest. So this is your key to remaining steadfast, strong enough to keep this on schedule and stay on track with everything you need to do. If you will wait long enough, listen, if you will wait long enough in His presence, here we go. He will speak to your heart and let you know if all your activities are ordained of Him. Or if there are some obligations or some activities or some weights you need to eliminate. And that alone will make life a whole lot easier. So spending time with the Lord is not an option, it's the answer. So come into the presence of the Lord and allow Him to refresh you. And as you do, Holy Spirit will release resurrection power, and you will be quickened in your physical body. You will be strengthened, refreshed, recharged, and supernaturally empowered by God so that you can get back out there with a fresh perspective, new energy to finish what you have started. Amen. So come to me, all you laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Now, what about this yoke business? Well, let me preface that with this scripture from Revelation 4 and 6 that says, in the front of the throne, there was also what looked like a transparent, glassy sea as of crystal. And around the throne, at the center, at each side of the throne, there were four living creatures, beings who were full of eyes in the front and behind, with intelligence as to what is before and what is at the rear of them. The first creature being like a lion, the second creature being like an ox, the third living creature had a face of a man, the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. But we want to focus on the one that looks like an ox. So whatever the purposes of the living creatures are, they also depict four of the attributes of God, right? And so the ox depict strength and power and might. And so Jesus says, take my yoke. When I was preparing this and I read, take my yoke, I heard Holy Spirit says, partner with my strength. Take my yoke, partner with my strength, and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly of heart. You will find rest for your soul. So the implication of the ox here is, it becomes immediate that in the yoke of the Lord, being easy when we partner with His strength. Amen. And not only that, but the yoke, He said the yoke is easy. So the yoke is one that fits you. Even the yoke on the ox is one that fit Him best. Amen. So through burden bearing, the oxen learn obedience and patience. Now, you notice when you watch an ox or a cow or a bull, they're not rushed, they're not swayed by onlookers, they're not influenced by the opinions of others. They keep their pace, they are ever mindful of their work, their load, their calling, their training, and their purpose. Amen. They have a pace. So the ox is not only represented by one of the attributes of God in Revelation 4 and 7, but also represents one of the seven spirits of God in Isaiah 11 and 2, the spirit of might, because of his strength and power. So then, when it comes to the greater works, that's something we will be walking in. Some of you may be feeling how you relate to the ox now. Amen. So it's incumbent upon us in this hour that we all yoke ourselves to the yoke of the ox of God. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Partner with his strength. Learn from me. We learn from a lot of other sources, but he says, learn from me. For I am gentle. I am lowly in heart. And when you do, you will find what? Rest for your soul. So in this place of rest, we learn submission, surrender, and obedience. In the place of rest, in this place of rest, it comes with the yoke. With the yoke, we learn his pace. And with the yoke, we learn that we never carry the burden alone. That's the reason oaks are yoked in tandem. They are yoked in tandem, work together, because they bear one another's burdens. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that the other ox is a picture of Jesus. And he says, take my yoke. And we are in tandem with him, never having to pull it alone, because we are partnering with his strength. Amen. Amen. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. Yokes for ox are fitted to be as comfortable as possible. Amen. And when you're going up in God, God is training you. God is learning things. You wonder, why do I have to always go the long way around? Why are things work out so easily for other people and not for me? Well, just know that that yoke is custom fit, and he's working things out the easiest and the best way possible for your purpose and your destiny. Amen. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. The yoke was a wooden collar instrument placed on the neck or the shoulders of the ox. It was used for tying the ropes of the plow to the oxen for tying for whatever load he had to pull. So why I'm just saying that for all of us who are under 60. So we all be on the same page here, right? Yeah. Okay, James don't know anything about that. You wouldn't. So it's extremely important that the yoke be fitted for the shoulders of the ox to prevent rubbing the flesh raw and causing sores. Amen. Well, Ira Blackman, how do you know that? I know that because Ira Blackman was country before country was cool. You don't hear me. In the Bible, when they wanted to train a young ox to plow the fields, they would yoke a large 2,500-pound ox to a young 500-pound ox by putting a big yoke on an ox and a small yoke on a young ox. Jesus' yoke is always a proper fit. So don't kick against the yoke. It's a proper fit. So at first, the young, untrained, unbroken ox might try to rebel against the yoke, become impatient and try to break free, want to go his own direction, want to go his own pace. But since he can't do that because he's yoked to the big ox, right, he would start to kick his heels trying to break free of the yoke so that he can go and do his own thing. So in that case, they would use what they call a goad to break this tendency. Well, what's a goad? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked. A goad is what you go at an ox with. I mean, a goad was a plank with barbs sticking out, and it was hung behind a young ox legs. So every time the ox would kick in rebellion, he will only hurt himself. It don't take long to get tired of that. Rubbing your own hindquarters raw. Amen. As best I can say it, amen. Amen. He will only hurt himself. He only hurt himself with rebellion and stubbornness. Rebellion and stubbornness, he only hurt himself. Amen. And many times you listen to people, you talk to people, and you can see and hear that they pride themselves in their stubbornness, even like the young ox. And the scripture has something very interesting to say about that. 1 Samuel 15:23, he says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity in adultery." But no, I'm saying, I got the Holy Ghost, so I speak in tongues, I lay hands on the sick. But stubbornness is as the sin of idolatry. And then that's the pride of it. The pride people have in being stubborn. And the scripture said pride goes before destruction. And the Holy Spirit before fall. But I got the Holy Spirit. Pride goes before destruction. And the Holy Spirit before a fall. Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. But after the yoke and the Goad experience, that same Saul became Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. What does that say? That tells me that yokes and Goads are transformational. So Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." So if we willingly take his yoke, partner with his power, learn from him, the Goad may not be necessary. And a lot of pain in life could be avoided because his yoke is easy and his burden is light, right? So the yoke refers to a man's life and task while on earth. So if the yoke refers to your life and what you do on earth, then Jesus says, "Take my yoke, because my yoke is easy." The word easy, krestos, means well-fitting. It fits you. Jesus is saying his yoke, his life, and task are fitted to a person. You ever heard a person say, "I was born for this"? Whatever he's doing, it's fitted to him, amen, for that person. So partnering with his power and purpose in our individual life is just like, it's just what a person's life needs. It's fitted to your life. And it's easier. It becomes the easiest task that the person could live and undertake by simply surrendering to the yoke and surrendering to his strength and partnering with his strength. And you're yoked in tandem with the larger ox, and you are both pulling. Amen. And so the burden is easy, the burden is light, because you are working in tandem, both pulling. You ever seen a child trying to help his daddy push something heavy? The child, no, he helping pop. You know, he's working, he's pushing it. And daddy's looking at him going, you know, "Oh, you're doing a good job, son. You're doing, come on, son, you're doing a good job." But really, dad is doing all the work. So the child is taking on the yoke of helping dad move this object. And he find out that, that wasn't so hard, dad. We need to try this again. Let me know when you need my help. I'd call me. You know, the burden is light, right? Because the larger yoke is really doing the heavy lifting. Amen. Amen. So partner with his strength. And so I believe these are three verses that are key in partnering with greater works. So in three verses and three points, now be out your way quickly. Amen. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me," which says you have to initiate the coming. All you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What is that rest? Restoration, refreshing, revelation, rejuvenation, revitalization, to be reinvigorated. Rest. How much would your insurance pay for that? Two, take my yoke upon you, which means partner with his strength. You don't have to go it alone. Partner with his strength. And here we go. Learn from me. No, Jesus is the great shepherd who leads us to the still waters and the quiet streams of mind and soul. He leads us to the still waters and the quiet streams of our mind and soul. You see, the Bible pictures us as sheep, And sheep can't drink from a raging river. They will drown with water up their nose, drown standing on their feet, trying to get what saves their life, water. Amen. And so the enemy will do everything to overwhelm you and to drown you. So ask Holy Spirit if everything that's on your plate is ordained of Him, or do some of that stuff need to go? Listen, and if it needs, and if it needs to go, then it was not redemptive to start with. There was no eternal reward for the stuff to start with. So sheep need the shepherd to lead them to the still waters and the quiet streams. So, which tells me you cannot shape your life by social media or any other kind of media or any idea or fad or the latest opinions. Now, there may be some good ideas out there, but many of those ideas will also drive you to being overwhelmed. Herds are driven. Sheep are led to the still waters, right? Led to the still waters. Your life should only be shaped by the scriptures. Amen. So learn from him. Third and lastly, he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. The almighty, self-existent, omnipresent, omnipotent God says to you and for you that I am gentle. I am lowly in heart. So he can be trusted with your heart. And you can learn from him. Amen. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Partnering in greater works from a place of rest. Amen. God bless you.